Husker Doc Talk Podcast 2014, number 19. Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Husker Doc Talk Podcast presented by the Remington Trophy. It has been some time since we have talked to you last. In fact, the last time we had a Husker Doc Talk podcast, Bo Pelini was fired. Good to have you along. I'm Travis Justice, joined by former Husker, great All-American, 1994 Big 8 Athlete of the Year, Dr. Rob Zadiska. You know, it's funny, Doc, from the time that Bo got fired to when we're talking about right now, a lot has happened. A hell of a lot has happened.
I can't believe, well, you know what, the last time we went through this, it seemed like, well, the last two times we've been through this with Nebraska, it seems like it's been so much of a drawn-out process. This time it happened so fast. I mean, he was fired on a Sunday. Everybody discussed it on Monday. I think Thursday we had a new coach.
And we have,
I mean, it's been almost anticlimactic.
We haven't got around to talking about Mike Riley yet. We'll do that before the end of this podcast. But the big news as we record today is that Bo Pelini, no shock here, went on an expletive tirade in that final meeting that he had with his team at Lincoln North Star High School. And, you know, the funny thing, you tell me if I'm speaking out of bounds here, if I'm reading this the wrong way. For as much as he talked about loyalty, as much as he talked about sticking together, don't you find it ironic that somebody in that room released a tape to the Omaha World Herald basically selling Bo Pelini out?
How many times has this happened to the guy? It's almost a damn near constant. Which, you know what, you can make the argument that, one, somebody sold him out with this, releasing a tape of this tirade. On the flip side, it's kind of interesting, too, though, that somebody sat on this for 2 weeks.
Maybe they were.
Because when you think about it, somebody could have brought this out a day or two after that meeting he had with the players. I find it interesting that somebody waited until everything had kind of died down a little bit. The players are back up and running with bowl game preparation. Pelini's already got another job.
And that's why I think they held on to it, Rob, because I'm a sick and sinister human being. I think somebody sat on that to embarrass him on the day that he got hired for another job at Youngstown State. Today, the day we are recording this podcast, the day he was introduced at Youngstown State, I believe they held on to it to embarrass him.
Do you think they did it specifically, or do you think it was somebody who had it, felt a journalistic need to release it, but waited until he had a job in place?
I think it goes both ways. I don't know if anybody felt they had a journalistic need to do it, but I think they said, all right, let's wait till Bo is back in the limelight. He's laid low. Because if you release it before he gets a job, it'll be talked about here. I think it gets talked a lot more in the national media because he was named the Youngstown State head coach on the day that we were recording this podcast. Now it's all over CBSSports.com. It's all over ESPN.com. It's all over the place because he took a job today. I think if it happens 2 days after he's fired, it's talked about, but people say, yeah, that's Bo Pelini. I think it was calculated. I think it was motivated. And I don't think I think it shows that maybe Bo Pelini has some people in that room that weren't as faithful to his teachings as he may think.
Well, you make a good point. I got to be honest, I hadn't looked at it that way. It seems to be a little bit of a recurrent theme with the guy, though, when you think about that tape getting the tape that was recorded after, I thought it was the Ohio State game. Yep. A few years ago that got released last year, where he went on the tirade, ripping the admin, ripping the fans.
In this meeting, of course, he ripped Sean Eichhorst. He ripped Harvey Perlman. He ripped former players, and I'm going to throw you into that bunch for the criticism.
But, you know, all things aside, I've usually been rather supportive of the guy.
I mean, if you're not open,
Who's been saying you don't fire a guy with 9 wins because who the hell are you going to get to replace him?
Well, and that's my point. I think you've been critical. I've been critical. I mean, criticism is part of the game. I don't think we've been overly critical to you and I both said don't fire the guy. But and if you can't take criticism, if it's going to be rah rah all the time, then you
I think the criticism we have was reasonably founded. I don't think it was obscene in any way. I don't think we crossed any boundaries in any way with the criticism that we had of the program. You know, I think the biggest criticism I had was I didn't like the complexity of his offensive and defensive systems, and I thought they were masters of nothing on offense, and I thought they were at best somewhat confused on defense. Now, if that's something you can't take, boy, there's a lot of heavier criticism out there, both for Nebraska and if you want to go to any other program in the country. I have been other places. Nebraska's fans and media both coddle this program like you wouldn't believe relative to the way fans and media treat other programs. You want to live in a harsh environment, fishbowl, with a glaring harsh light upon you at all times. Go back to LSU, Bo. Go to Alabama. Go to Texas. Go to Florida. Go to Ohio State. Ask how Brady Hoke feels at Michigan. This is nothing at Nebraska.
And I would tend to agree with you on that. Now, let's get to the heart of this thing, okay? So, Bo has had his supporters since the day he stepped on campus. In fact, he had supporters the year Frank Solich hired him, and he coached Nebraska through the Alamo Bowl that went over Michigan State, and a lot of people thought he should have had the job there. People liked his fire. If you read that transcript, and you are shocked that Bo Pelini dropped an F-bomb, if you're surprised that he used other expletives, then you didn't know Bo Pelini. But if you're criticizing him now and you are a supporter of him, you are probably the same type of person that liked the fire that he brought to the sidelines. Some people liked it. Now, but let's get into the heart of this. He criticized Sean Eichhorst, called out his integrity, and he talked about not ever really getting to know Sean Eichhorst, that he knew the writing was on the wall. People may not like the way he assessed it, but he called out Harvey Perlman and Sean Eichhorst. So you take away the expletives. Is he fair in saying that he never had a relationship and that he never felt supported by the AD or the chancellor? In our last podcast, I ripped the chancellor. I'm not a big fan of Harvey Perlman. This goes back to the Steve Peterson days. So take out the expletives. Is he telling a lie that he never had a relationship with these two? Is he telling a lie that he never had meetings or had a close relationship with Sean Eichhorst?
I don't think he's lying. Here's my take on it. I don't think he had a relationship with Eichhorst. And the reason I say that is because I think Eichhorst was geared up to fire him last year. And I could be wrong on that, but I've got a small handful of sources. They're reasonably close sources to the program. And they said, and now, like I said, this isn't carved in stone fact. This is secondhand info coming to me. But according to these people, and it's people who would know this and should know this information, they told me that Eichhorst was geared up to fire him last year, and that the only thing that stopped it is that there was a strong amount of support from Tom Osborne and a number of the boosters who wanted to try and keep him around for at least one more year to see what he could do, give him one more chance, so to speak. Now, like I said, I'm not saying this is stone cold fact. I'm saying this is what I was told by people who are closer to the program than I am, much closer. I mean, it's people at the university currently who told me this. Now, that being the case, if you've got an athletic director who was geared up to fire you last year, And if there's some degree of measurable not met. Now, what I mean by that, if Nebraska had won the Big Ten title this year, they'd gone to the Big Ten title game, they had knocked off Ohio State, Pelini wouldn't have been fired. Winning cures a number of evils, no matter how bad. It just does. I hate saying that. It's very true. There's a degree of hypocrisy inherent in college athletics, and that's one of the big ones. Say, you know what? You win enough, people are going to let a lot of stuff slide. And so when I say there was, if Pelini had won the Big Ten title, he wouldn't have been fired. But you know what? He didn't win it. He didn't make it to the Big Ten title game, and he had a couple of ugly losses along the way. I-Course is looking at that all along the way, and I think I-Course's take on it is like, listen, this is a guy I'm going to be firing at the end of the year. There's no need for him to develop this good, friendly, supportive relationship with the guy. Look at it from I-Course's standpoint. You're not going to keep this guy around. Why do you need to develop a great relationship with him?
Also in the
and so I think you should have at least a reasonably cordial working relationship. And now that's my philosophy. I'm not saying it has to be I-Course's, but I understand why I-Course might not develop a great relationship with the guy if his plan all along was, well, I was going to fire him last year. We didn't have the buyout money to do it. We do now. I'm letting this guy go no matter what. There's no need to have that relationship in that setting.
So they don't.
And I think that's the way I-Course looked at it. I don't think Bo's lying. It seems very feasible to me that there was no relationship there.
So he,
that makes perfect sense to me.
Then it's no secret that he also told the team, and this isn't a big one because we've known this, that he said, listen, Tom Osborne was forced out as athletic director. You and I have talked about that. We believe that's to be the case. It's been written several times that when Tom found out that he wasn't going to be the AD anymore is when the press told him. So you have a pattern here. Again, Bo didn't lie to his team in that aspect when he was describing the actions he saw from the university.
Well, and there's a couple of things going on here. I'm not upset about the fact that Bo stated certain facts.
Are you mad that he swore?
He showed, in my opinion, a decided lack of grace, leadership, composure, and character in terms of how he addressed the team. Getting fired is painful, and it's harsh. And this was obviously a job that caused a massive amount of stress to Pelini. Now, granted, it was his first job as a head coach, at least as a full-time head coach, not as an interim. This job weighed on this guy awfully heavily. And Nebraska is an absolute vacuum. It's not an easy place to have your first head coaching job. From a stress standpoint, go ask Frank Solich. Was it more stressful at Nebraska or at the University of Ohio? it's an easy answer. It's a job that can beat people down. Look at Tom Osborne. The guy is the epitome of strength, grace, and composure. He almost left twice. Once to Colorado, once to Minnesota. I mean, twice Tom Osborne almost left you. And this is the guy who the entire state identifies with. And he almost got driven out by it. So if you've got somebody who, in this state's eyes, is darn near, at least as far as football coaches go, near godlike as Osborne is, and he almost said, screw it, I'm out of here, twice, how do you think that's going to weigh on somebody who's a little bit of an emotional hothead like Pelini?
And
let me finish.
Okay.
My problem isn't the fact that Pelini said, hey, I had this incredibly horrible relationship with the athletic director, and I felt like I got no support from the guy. I don't necessarily disagree with that. Yeah, that from what I have heard from people in the program and from what Pelini has said, yeah, that sounds about right. That totally measures up from what I have heard from other people. Did Osborne get forced out? I don't know if forced out's the right word, but yeah, it seems to be, at least from what I've heard, common knowledge that he found out about I-Corps getting hired and he no longer being the athletic director when the media let him know about it. There was a press release that said Sean Eichhorst was hired as the new athletic director, and that's how Tom Osborne found out he was no longer the athletic director. So, yeah, that seems rather common knowledge. And so, yeah, I don't disagree with that as a fact. But you don't go in front of your team and show the verbal lack of composure. Now, everybody says, yeah, he wasn't screaming and yelling and breaking down. But you know what? You don't go in there and you don't MF the university and your bosses, the athletic director, the fans. You don't tell them how this job almost broke you. You go in there and say, hey, listen, you're a wonderful group of kids. You're a great group of players. You gave everything you had. And I'll remember that always, and I'm going to take that with me for the rest of my life. You guys carry on, fight with all your heart, and keep doing what you're doing. You guys have been absolutely wonderful, and I can't thank you for the experience enough.
But you really didn't expect Bo Pelini to take the high road, did you?
You know what? A good coach should and would. A good leader should and would do that. And there's where, you know, there's a lesson here in all of this. If you want to know why Pelini was fired, that's it right there.
Well, and Sean,
I guarantee you look at most any other coach around the nation, they're not meeting with the team, MFing people left and right, dropping the C word, this and that. To do that, in my mind, that is the thing I condemn Pelini for.
And I think
I thought he was not the greatest, but I thought he was a good coach. His failure here is as a lack of a leader. He is a lack of a good CEO of a program.
He's really a good assistant coach. If you think about it, that's the role of assistant coach. And if you read Sean Eichhorst and the university statement, it clearly laid out that's why he was fired. He was fired because he was inappropriate, the way he treated people, and the way he acts. He wasn't fired off wins and losses. He was fired, and if you read the statement, clearly because of the way he acts. And you and I talked about it, and that's why I wasn't shocked that he went off. I'm sure he feels betrayed by some of his players, whoever recorded that. But again, if you're going to be in a public setting, even if you think it's private, in today's day and age, you better expect that to go public at some point.
Well, and that's the thing that surprises me. When you look at the previous hot mic episodes in this guy's career, you got to expect it at all times. I mean, for God's sakes, freaking Faux Pelini's cracking jokes about this on the day that real Pelini gets fired. I guess it wasn't the day he got fired. He had that whole tweet about my advice to Nebraska's next head coach, which I think actually came out the day Mike Riley was hired. But he made the point, assume all mics are hot. And it doesn't even have to be a microphone anymore. Somebody's got a cell phone, and it's going to be rolling at all times. You just got to assume it. And I think that's one of these things where that's just, talk about biting Pelini in the ass. He should have known. He should have figured that. I mean, the one person who should be least surprised about this, I don't think Pelini said anything about this, but the one person who should be the least surprised about this is Bo Pelini.
And I would agree with you on that.
I just, it blows my mind that he would have the lack of grace that to have this, you call it not taking the high road, and that's probably a great way to put it. But you got a guy who won't take the high road here with this, and this was a perfect opportunity to do so. And it's out there now. I could be wrong. I mean, if he goes to Youngstown and starts taking Youngstown back into deep runs into the 1AA playoffs again, like Tressel did a decade ago, then I think, well, decade and a half ago, rather, then I think somebody's going to hire him, and he's going to be back coaching a Division I team here at some point again. No questions asked. But if he kind of hangs out in sort of that somewhat sort of marginal category where he's a 8-9 win a year guy at a 1AA school, it's going to be hard for him to kind of climb back up that coaching ladder because of comments like that, because of stuff like that, where people are going to look at him and say, you know what? Most coaches end up getting fired at most jobs. Most guys don't quit. Most college football coaches get fired at some point.
Of course.
They're there for 5, 6, 7 years. They either leave to take a better job or they get fired. And one of the things that you're going to have to think about anytime you hire Pelini, is he going to be MFing the athletic director, the chancellor, and calling them the C word when you decide that you have to let them go?
Of course,
that's something that I think is going to follow him for a while here. People don't forget that stuff, especially now that it's on tape.
Well, and of course, all his facial expressions from years past and television cameras watching him blow up as well.
Oh, God, it's internet memes all over the place.
Of course, the Husker Doc Talk podcast presented by the Remington Trophy. Now is the time to get your Remington Trophy presentation tickets. Just go to remingtontrophy.com. It's coming up on January 17th at the Rococo Theater in Lincoln. Bobby,
one month.
Bobby Bowden's going to be the featured speaker. It's going to be a great night. Rob and I are going to be there. We're going to have our lovely wives. Again, we'd like to see you there, and I know Dave would like to see you there. Go to RemingtonTrophy.com. Also want to thank our supporters of the Husker Doc Talk podcast. It'd be the Benson Brewery in the heart of Benson. They've got a brand new chef on hand and a brand new menu. Go check it out at the Benson Brewery and our good friends at HuskerMax.com for the best Husker content around. It's updated daily. It's updated hourly. Go to HuskerMax.com. So now Mike Riley's sitting here. He's not coaching the bowl game. He's recruiting. He's building his staff. Does he have to get the guys in a room now and try to heal? I know he's already talked to him, but boy, I think you clearly see that Bo Pelini tried to divide the team from the administration. How much healing, you know, Mike Riley's got a hell of a coaching job he's got to do, but how much healing does this guy have to do?
I don't think as much as I think people think he might.
Listen to this analogy. Do you think it's like when Dorothy threw the water on the Wicked Witch and the monkeys were happy when she died? Do you think there's a big relief amongst the team that Bo's actually gone?
There's probably a little bit of emotional tension that's gone. You know, the players still seem to really like Pelini. I think the players could kind of ID with him, but I think that's because, to a degree, they saw that raw emotion and they saw that lack of, I don't know if this is the best way to put it, lack of emotional maturity and composure. And it's one of these things where I think they almost identified with him as much as a peer.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, Pelini operated, and from his EQ was almost on par with 20-year-old college students in terms of how he handled things. I mean, it's an 18 to 22-year-old thing to go call your boss who just shit canned you.
Let it be known that you're the one who swore on this podcast
and not me. A pussy, a cunt, et cetera.
Whoa!
That's stuff an 18 to 22-year-old calls their boss when they get fired. When a 40, 50-year-old man gets fired, you say, hey, you know what? A lot of this probably had to do with me as much as it did him. I'm going to speak highly to you guys, the players, and then I'm going to leave everything else unsaid.
Hey, just let you know, tell your wife that you were the one that swore on this podcast and not me, because I got in trouble the last time.
But my point is that you've got Pelini emotionally acting more like his own players than like a coach. And I think that allows the players to identify with him. I think the players liked him. The thing is, though, here, they have no reason to dislike Riley. And by all accounts, Riley has been referred to as a classic players coach. Players historically have always said they loved the guy. And he's a guy that kind of seems to endear himself to his players and the other coaches around him. People really like this guy, and I think he's already endeared himself to the players. When you look at, you hop on Twitter and you read the tweets about it, and the players have, you know, a lot of the players, as soon as Riley got hired, all of the angry tweets, the disappointment, sort of that sense of unknowing, where do we go next? All of those tweets went away. And all of a sudden, everything, all the tweets, they changed their tone really, really quick when Mike Riley got hired. And the social media commentary that you saw coming from the current players, everything took on much more of a looking forward tone. I mean, they seem to be looking ahead. Okay, hey, here's who we got. Here's what people are saying about them. It's go time. Let's get moving forward. Let's see what this guy is going to bring to the table. And I think the players are legitimately looking forward to see what Riley has to offer.
Do you think he should have been coaching the bowl
game? Players are over it.
I would agree with you on that.
I truly do.
Do you think he should have coached the bowl game?
No, it's impossible to come in and either A, integrate yourself as a coach into the previous system, or B, come in and try and institute a new system. It's too hard to do. Basically, you got 3 weeks. That's it. Four, maybe, if you want to count some team meetings.
You've got 3 weeks, and you've got coaches who are also looking for jobs. That's why I wonder how prepared this team's going to be against USC.
It's going to be great. I'll be interested to see how it goes. You know, you'd be surprised, though. I think they can do some pretty impressive things. But I think you're going to see a very simplified version. You're going to see, I think Beck's going to do what he normally does. They'll go out and, I think, throw a whole bunch of different stuff at USC. I think we're going to get just a total mixed bag on offense. I think on defense, you're going to see an incredibly, incredibly dumbed down, simplified version of what Pelini did.
So Randy Gregory announces he's going to go pro. Yeah, that's a good move, don't you think?
I think it's a decent move. I would have loved to seen him stick around, because I think he had a little bit of a subpar year, not because he just didn't play well. I think the guy went out, I don't think he had one of those Jadeveon Clowney years where he went out there with just sort of this, boy, I'm just going to try not to get hurt. I think he went out there, I think he had a couple of injuries he was nursing, and I think he played with the heart of a lion through some pretty nasty injuries all season long, with people trying to chop him at the knees and double team him the whole time.
But I'm sure Bo Pelini's speech probably helped him make his decision, don't you think?
I think he was going to go pro either way.
Yeah.
I think if Pelini had stayed on as the head coach, if Pelini had not been fired, I think Gregory would have gone pro. I think he felt like he'd gotten everything he needed to get out of his time at Nebraska, and I think he's ready to move on.
I do know this. It's going to be a topic for a podcast coming up soon, and that's we have to talk about Mike Riley. We have to talk about the assistant coaches that he is hiring. And we got to talk about, you know, who got the best deal of the Big Ten. Was it Wisconsin getting Paul Chryst? Was it Nebraska getting Mike Riley? Or will it be Michigan maybe getting Jim Harbaugh? And by the way, Rob, real quickly, Steve Peterson got fired. Surprise, 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 huh?
You know what? That's like the quietest news all night. I saw that earlier tonight. Nobody's paying attention to it. Nobody cares.
He's Dr. Rob Zadisk. I'm Travis Justice. Thanks for listening to the Husker Doc Talk podcast presented by the Remington Trophy. We'll be back real soon with another Husker Doc Talk podcast talking about the bowl game and the coaching hires that Mike Riley has made to lead Nebraska into the 2015 season. We'll talk to you next time, everybody.